welcome to the call today. My name is Kerr Mortensen, and for those that are new on the call, pretty simple. What we're doing is reviewing a little bit from last time that we talked, and we spend, 15, 20 minutes on a persuasion tool, talk a little bit about application, and then we'll open it up for questions and, ask those questions to me, and we'll talk about those, and then, of course, we'll be recording it so we can post it online, and we'll get that information to you. Last time we talked a little bit about power and how power increases your ability to persuade and influence. Power being the uniform, a suit, it could be the title, it could be your expertise, and that's important to understand. Persuasion and power are all neutral, but they do enhance your ability to persuade and influence. It makes a little people nervous to have power, but this is important. When you are considered the expert, there is no persuasion resistance. Let me repeat that. When you are the expert, there is no persuasion resistance, and that gives you a form of power. They don't need any clever phrase or technique, so the way you come across as an expert is very, very important, and we'll be talking about that. We talked about that last week. Today, I want to talk about some other things. We want to spend, I've getting a lot of requests for more on the mindset, self-persuasion. We'll spend more time talking about that over the upcoming weeks and help you out there. One thing that is really going to help you out is understanding what we call the VBC or the verbal business card. Now, this is also known maybe as an elevator. It could be an elevator pitch, however it is. This is going to be critical. I want to change the way you talk to people. I want to get people to say, well, how do you do that, and get them to ask you questions, because that changes the whole scenario. But before I do, we're starting to post calls. If you want to write this down at persuasioniq.com, and then it's just Kurt Call, K-U-R-T-C-A-L-L. So go to persuasioniq.com and then do a slash Kurt. It's K-U-R-T Call, C-A-L-L, and we'll keep the last couple weeks' recordings on there. We'll post the newer recordings on there, and you'll have access to those. So we are starting to record those and post those for you. So again, persuasioniq.com/Kurt, K-U-R-T, call, C-A-L-L. So let's get into this verbal business card, because a lot of people really blow it here. For example, let me back up. The reason they call it an elevator speech or whatever it is, when somebody asks what you do for a living, you have probably about 20, 30 seconds, or the amount of the time you're in an elevator to respond to that. Now, when you're at a family reunion or talking to family or see friends or you see somebody, a lot of times it comes up, hey, what do you do for a living? And I just cringe when I hear people, the way they answer that, because they just blow it. Because people say things like this, well, I have a home-based business, or, well, I'm a real estate investor, or I work with foreclosures, or I'm an entrepreneur, or whatever it is. Those are all terrible responses. You with me on that one? They're terrible. Oh, I'm a teacher, or I work on the internet, or I'm a real estate agent. All terrible responses, because when somebody asks what you do for a living, the door is open for you to get them to say, hey, can I have your card? Can you tell me more? And you've said something, you've blown it, you shut the door, they don't want any information from you. So let's get around that a little bit. Let's talk about that verbal business card. Now, when you have that 20 to 30 seconds, there's a couple things that you really need to have in that 15, 20 seconds. And that's what I want you to work with this week, is what can you say in 15, 20, 30 seconds to get people to say, whoa, whoa, wow, how do you do that? Can you tell me more? That's your goal. What can you come up with to get people to say, tell me more? Now, if the person doesn't want to know more, they probably weren't a good prospect anyway. But you have to remember, everybody you meet can do business with you or know somebody that can. So here's the goal. Is what can you say in the first 20, 30 seconds that is going to grab their attention? Maybe surprise them, maybe startle them a little bit. That's very important. You have to have the ability to connect with that person, because if they don't like you or you rub them the wrong way or repel them, that can hurt the process. You have to think to yourself, well, what do you want them to do? Do you want them to ask for a business card, for a phone number, for a website? Do you want them to ask you another question? And it comes back to the old famous, well, what's in it for me? give you some examples here. So if someone says, what do you do for a living? You say, have you ever looked at the home of your dreams and thought you couldn't afford it? I make those dreams a reality. Okay? And then shut up. Or you'd say something like, have you ever known somebody's home that was going into a foreclosure and you wanted to help them but didn't know how? I help those people save their homes. Have you ever been working at a dead-end job that you hate and had no energy or sleepy and grumpy? I solve that problem. Ever feel like you weren't making a difference in the world? I mean, you just fill in the blank there. You're doing something to where they say, whoa, how do you do that? Now, your reaction, you're going to say, well, this is how you do it. You want to vomit on them, and that's not what you want to do. You want to ask another question. So you say something, and they say, wow, how do you do that? You say, well, tell me a little bit about what you do, and I can tell you how I can help you. Get as much information as possible. Help them persuade themselves. You're coming across as the expert. You're coming across as the introvert consultant instead of the extrovert salesperson, and it just changes that persuasion level. You ever felt the threat of downsizing? You ever felt that you weren't earning what you're worth? You ever wanted to work at home, be your own boss, spend time with children, travel more, financial independence? That's important. Now, I need to put a little disclaimer here because some of you are analytical, and you're like, well, that wouldn't work with me. Well, that's probably true, but it will work with other people. So what I would say is you need to learn to read people, and if it's a truly analytical person, you might just say something. You know, I work with entrepreneurs who face difficulties with lead generation, and I show them how to get $20 return for every dollar invested. Or I help entrepreneurs make an extra $5,000 a month. So if you're dealing with a diehard analytical, you just might want an interesting, intriguing fact or statistic that'll help you out. I help entrepreneurs make an extra $2,000 a week, or whatever it is. Now, if I'm talking about persuasion and influence and people ask about what I do for a living, I could say something like, hey, you know, have you ever had a prospect or a customer that wanted your product, needed your product, could afford your product, but did not buy from you? I guarantee that'll never happen again. And they say, whoa, how do you do that? And then I'd ask them more questions. Now, if they're not interested, that's fine, move on, but at least I've opened the door for them to ask me more about that. So what can you say in that first 30 seconds to grab their attention? Now, when you're dealing with more of an outgoing person, an amiable person, a person that's, you know, an extrovert, you're going to want some type of question, like I mentioned. Have you ever, you know, went through a home of your dreams and didn't think you could afford it? I make those dreams a reality. But if it's a diehard analytical, maybe more of an introverted person, you would probably say, you know, I show internet entrepreneurs how to make a $20 return for every dollar invested and get them to ask questions at that. And again, great persuaders have learned to read people, and especially with men. What do you do for a living tends to come up a lot. And if you can come up with something that will grab their attention, you'll see a big difference in your income because, repeat, again, everybody you meet can do business with you or know somebody that can. That is the goal. That's what you want to work on. So here's what we need to talk about. There is something here in play, and this is true with your verbal business card and when you return phone calls or leave messages, what was called the Zeigarnik effect, and that really enhances your verbal business card. It enhances your ability to persuade. It also enhances your ability to get people to call you back. Now, you don't need to know how it's spelled. It's Zeigarnik. Let me just tell you the principle. That's the most important thing to understand. It comes from Bloom Zeigarnik. He was a Russian psychologist. You don't even know that. That's just my background. That's what interests me. And he came up with this effect that he calls it, the Zeigarnik effect. And what it is when you look at human nature, is that people remembered unfinished things more than they remember things that they finished. This is very important to understand. Let me explain. When you're watching a movie on television, well, let's say you're watching the news and you're getting ready to turn it off so you could go eat. You shouldn't be watching the news, but that's a whole other topic. But let's say you're watching the news because they're really good at this. You're about ready to turn it off, and right before commercial they say, you know what, your tap water is slowly killing you. Stay tuned. Now, that's unfinished. You remember it more. It's kind of intriguing. It's kind of suspenseful. A lot of people will stay tuned. You see it on movies on TV when they put in a commercial. You're watching this movie and the knife comes up. The music's playing. It's scary. The knife starts to come down. Boom, commercial. Because it's unfinished and more people stick with it. Now, if they did it in the middle of an unsuspenseful spot, a lot of people wouldn't come back after the commercials. So let me just translate that, what that means to you. When you're in a conversation with somebody, you need to leave something unfinished. When you talk about your verbal business card, you need to leave something unfinished. When you leave a message on a machine, it's something unfinished. And then, here, let me explain that. Let's talk about the machine. I know you have a lot of challenges with people calling you back based on the emails that I'm getting. Here's the issue. Now, when you leave a message, you need to leave a message. Well, first of all, let me back up. When you've talked to them, leave something unfinished. Something you need to send them, information you need to give them, you're going to meet, you need to get facts of information, something unfinished. So they'll remember that conversation more, they'll remember more, especially if it's something they need to do. But second place would be something you need to do for them. When you leave a message, it will dramatically increase the number of people call you back when you say, hey, I found that report I was looking for, give me a call. Or I found the perfect solution for you, give me a call. I found a report that addresses all the answers to your questions. I need to send that to you. Or something along those lines, a CD, a tape, a website, something you found, answering their questions. Something, if you can leave something unfinished, that there's a dramatic increase in the people that will call you back. The Zeigarnik effect. That's true when you talk to them. So if you're talking to someone that you want to talk to again, leave something unfinished. They'll remember you more. On an answering machine, and that's also in your verbal business card. Something that's intriguing, something that's unfinished to get them to want to finish it. The human brain wants things finished. And that goes back to the to-do list. We remember the things that we need to do, but once we cross it out, we really don't remember it very much, and that's the same thing about you and your product and service and making and becoming memorable. Becoming memorable. Something unfinished is a way to do that. So just to recap here. When somebody asks what you do for a living, you need to come up with something to get them to say, wow, how do you do that? Tell me more. And then once they say that, you're going to ask another question. Well, tell me a little bit about your business and what you're doing so I can customize how it's going to fit to you, or so I can tell you more about what I do, or I can see how I can help you in your business. And when you're sincere and genuine with that, they're not going to think twice about it. They're going to answer that question, which gives you all the information you need to persuade them, which allows you to listen and ask questions to gather information to help them persuade themselves. That's critical here. Tell me more, or how do you do that? Now, part of this, too, is understanding your natural tendency to vomit. Okay? Well, here are the 17 reasons you should work with me. That turns people off. Remember, slowly give them that information, help them understand that information. Let me give you an example from the courtroom. We've noticed in courtroom settings that the slower you release information to the jury, the more persuasive it is. If you got up in your opening arguments and vomited the 23 reasons why they're guilty, it doesn't have the same effect as releasing one at a time throughout the whole presentation, throughout the whole court proceedings. And if you can help the jury come to their conclusion without you telling them to come to that conclusion, it's even more powerful. So a couple things here. If you can reveal a little bit at a time, that's more persuasive. If you can help them come to their own conclusion by themselves, that's even more persuasive. Really understanding human nature will go a long way with what you're doing. Something unfinished. So just to start thinking about this week, what can you say? Now, once you get good at this, you'll probably have four or five things you can say. You're going to adapt it to different personalities. But come up with one this week that you like that you can try on people. And that comes back to, okay, when you look at your product or service, what's unique? Is there a statistic or a number about what you do? Is there some type of guarantee that's incredible? Is there something about your product or service that no other product or service has? Is it something that relates to their wealth or to their health? Those are two things that most people are concerned about right now, their wealth and their health. Is it something that's going to grab their attention? Is there some type of benefit they're going to get that's going to solve a problem? Because as persuaders, you are problem solvers. Your product or service is solving a problem. So as you put this together, you're trying to come up with something that's going to solve their problem. How are you better than the competition? Are you better than the competition? Are you the best person in that area? Does your product or service just blow somebody out of the water? Do you have success stories? You know, on average, 47% of my clients make an extra $50,000 a year. And you can build your whole presentation around that. That is your goal. So to recap here real fast, this week, work on your verbal business card. Make sure you add some type of Zygarnik effect in there with something unfinished to where they want to know more, statistic, something that they'll want to ask. Make sure it maybe surprises them or startles them. Make sure it solves some type of problem. And here's the key. Make sure you can do it in 20 seconds. Because I'm telling you, big complaints against you is you're talking three times too much, you're vomiting way too much information. Top persuaders, listen and ask more questions than the average persuaders, because then now you're a consultant instead of a persuader. And make sure it's believable. You know, we can, you know, when you teach people persuasion and influence, you can see people's income double, triple, quadruple. That's easily done. But is that believable? That's where you have to back up and really, really make sure people will believe that. So it's always truthful, but you always make sure it's believable, something that they can buy into. So if 100% of your clients are tripling their income, that might not be believable to some people. Maybe it's 95% or 90%, or take it a little lower to make it believable. But make sure it's always truthful, but it also needs to be believable. Maybe even a little outrageous. And, of course, the benefits, of course, what's in it for me, what are the benefits, that's important. So that's what I want you to apply to. That's one persuasion tool that you can apply this week. We talked about the Zygarnik effect, whether you're leaving a message or talking to somebody on the phone or your verbal business card. So practice this week. When somebody asks you what you do for a living, the door is open for you to persuade them. Don't say, oh, I'm in real estate, or I'm in network marketing, I'm my home-based business, or I work on the internet, whatever it is, that doesn't do anything for anybody. What can you say to grab their attention? Okay? All right. With that, let's open it up for questions. Are there any questions or comments about what we talked about or what you're running into right now? Think of any? I just got an email of one. Let's see, let me read it to you. It says, Kurt, based on the Zygarnik effect, tell me more how that applies to leaving messages and should I leave a message? Oh, there's the question right there. Now, obviously, let me put it back up. Never, never leave a message unless you have to. You always want a live body first. Yeah, that's message number one, or suggestion number one. If you've tried different times of the day and it's always going to voicemail, by all means, leave a message, but that message needs to contain that Zygarnik effect, something unfinished. They need to call you back or send you an email or something simple that they can do to get that information. So, never leave a message unless you need to. So, you decide, is that four or five phone calls throughout different times of the day? Then leave a message as maybe a last-ditch effort. And then always include something that's unfinished and you'll get more people to call you back. All right, another question came in. It says, Kurt, when I return, this is what it's saying. I'll just kind of paraphrase it. It's kind of long. It's basically asking that when they're returning calls, it looks like they're in network marketing, and when they return phone calls and leave messages, people don't call them back, and we address that. But then the second thing was, and I want to address this, a lot of times when they call people back, they get them on the phone, and within the first 30 seconds, they're not interested. And this is a big violation in real estate, network marketing, and persuasion in general. Let me explain what's happening here with the mind. Now, you've talked to somebody. They're excited. They're going to do your business. It's happening. Slam dunk. They're going to go to your website and check it out, and you've got an appointment next week to talk to them. So you gave them a list of three things to do, and all week you're thinking about them. It's a done deal. They were excited. It's a perfect fit. They can afford it. It was perfect. So you call them a week later, and you say, hey, did you read that information? And they say, oh, no, you know, things came up. I'm not interested. Slams the door, hang up on you, or they're just so cold that you can't get anywhere. What happened? Let's talk about it. Now, first of all, you have to remember that every time you make a phone call, it's an interruption. They weren't thinking about you. Okay, guarantee it. They were not thinking about you. It's very, very rare. So you've interrupted them. Chances are they didn't do what they said they were going to do. And if you make them feel stupid, and they will feel stupid, hey, did you do that? They're thinking, oh, I didn't. What's the best way out of it? Oh, I'm not interested. Okay, so the big thing is you backed them into a corner. And the biggest mistake here is you caught them at an emotional low. Okay, this is what's happening. First time you talk to them, what happened is you were building up their emotions, you were connecting, you were building rapport, they were excited, they could see themselves doing it, they're on an emotional high, and then you hang up. So when they call a week later, there's no emotion, and it's just easier to say no. So, on the very first phone call, you were copious in your notes, you took very good notes. If you're not doing that, shame on you. You need to start. You can put them into any type of program, Excel, Word, you can put it into Outlook, wherever you want. So when you call them back, don't ask them if they listened to the CD or went to the website or went through the house or whatever it is. You would say, you would build those emotions up. Hey, last time you told me about this, how are your children, you still interested in spending more time at home and vacations? You're building the emotions up, and when the emotions are back up where you left them, then and only then do you ask them about, you know, if they did what you asked them to do. But you always want to leave a door open, you know, if they didn't do it, or you just say, you know, some people don't get to this. Is there an easy way I can help you out? Because people don't want to feel stupid. They want to feel confused. Maybe they didn't understand. Don't back them into a corner. Just keep the door open. But you need to build those emotions up. Very, very good question. Any other questions out there? Got one more that came in that was just emailed me. Okay. All right. This one goes back to answering machines. And they asked about law of verbal packaging. Remember, law of verbal packaging is one of the 12 laws of persuasion. And they ask about how important is verbal packaging on answering machines. So verbal packaging would be the words that you use and your tonality and the speed and rate of your voice, your vocal inflection, all those things. So let's talk about it. Another great question. Now, the biggest complaint when you leave them a answering a machine message is that it was too fast and they didn't understand the number or they didn't understand what they were going to say, and they'll listen to it maybe one or two times if you're lucky, and then they're done. So when you get to the important parts like your number or your email address, slow it down, repeat it. Very important. That is a huge complaint. I know it's happened to you. So your challenge is you've left the same message 113 times that week and you're just going through the motions and leaving it. So what that does is they can't understand a lot of the message because you're going so fast. Number two is that sucks the energy and enthusiasm out of it. Remember, that's the first time they've ever heard that message, even though it's the 10,000th time you've left it. It's got to pretend it's the first time. Energy, conviction, enthusiasm, slow down, speed it up at different times. Make sure you pause and you repeat the vital information, what you want them to do. And another thing there, too, is that, you know, take the blame on yourself. This is what I mean. If they said they were going to call you back, you would say, hey, you know, I just looked at my notes, and it looks like, you know, that, you know, we were supposed to get in contact. I don't know if it's not my fault, what I need to do. I'm giving you a call. You would never say, obviously, hope you know this is obvious. Hey, you were going to call me back, and you didn't. Hey, you said you'd send me an email, and you didn't. That will slam the door very fast on your ability to persuade them. Okay, very good question. So your tonality is very important. The Zeigarnik effect is going to be very important there. So word choice is important, but then slowing it down. But then this is the first time they've ever heard a message from you, if that's the case. Because if you're going through the motions, it's going to sound like that, and it's going to really close the door to persuasion and influence. Great question. Any other questions out there? All right, good questions, good questions. And if there's certain topics you want to hear about, let me know. I'd be happy to implement those in these weekly calls. And other questions, you're able to email those ahead of time, too. Thanks for being on the call. Remember, the recordings are located on persuasioniq.com/KurtCall, KURTCALL. They'll post the last couple of weeks on there. You're welcome to listen to them, download them, whatever you need to do if you want to review them. I know sometimes I'm very high content. I don't want to give you fluff. I want to give you content you can use right now. So this week, make sure you do your verbal business card. So go out there, persuade with power, learn these techniques, increase your income, and make the world a better place. That being said, good night. God bless.